Welcome to the Ice Lab Podcast. We are your hosts, Michael Marinaro and Trent Michaud.
We are going to take you deep into our labs, as well as many different high-performance professionals we've connected with on our journey as we strive for excellence. Welcome back to another episode of the Ice Lab Podcast. Mike, number 20, baby. 20th episode. It's crazy. What is that? What quick math. 5 months?
5 months. 4, 8, 12, 16. Yeah, five. Yeah, five good, months. Buddy.
Yeah, let's go. Math is on point. It's pretty crazy. We started this 5 months ago. Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's been 5 months of doing these. Pretty cool. We've gotten to chat with some pretty cool people that we otherwise would not have. So it's been pretty fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thanks for coming along with the ride with me, Mikey.
No problem. Thanks for having me, brother.
Nice. So exciting news yesterday for you for next week. Fans allowed at Skate Canada International.
Yes, super, super pumped about that. We just got back a couple weeks ago from Finland, and it was so nice to perform in front of an audience again. Even if it is just 1,000 tickets, it's gonna feel phenomenal, and it's definitely going to help all the athletes. And I was already looking forward to the event, and now I'm extremely, extremely looking forward to get out there and skate in front of a home crowd.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Super excited for you guys for that. And can't wait to watch you after my week at Skate America. It's super exciting. The series starts this week, man. Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it.
Here we go. It is rolling. When this comes out, you will already be done in Vegas, and we will be on our way to Vancouver.
Ready to crush it.
Yeah.
So, actually, our next guest is also going to be in Vancouver with you next week, I believe. So, do you want to introduce him, Mikey?
Sure, yes. He will be competing this coming weekend in Vancouver at Skate Canada. He is two-time national bronze medalist, national silver medalist, Grand Prix finalist, three-time world team member, 2018 Olympian, and close friend, Keegan Messing.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
Anytime, buddy. How's it going?
It is going very well. Just wrapped up a training session. Legs are feeling a little shaky, but you know, it's training. When do they not? I guess if they're shaky, they're working right, right?
Yeah, we're getting ready for bed over here in Ontario. It's quite a bit earlier in Alaska, eh?
Yeah, 4-hour time change. Anywhere's a big time change, except for Vancouver. It's going to be one of the few times I get the 1-hour time change going somewhere, but still two flights.
Yeah,
two flights still.
Yeah, still two flights.
That's crazy. So actually, this is one of the things we wanted to talk about was living in Alaska. Do you think that falls under one of the difficulties of living in Alaska, is that you have to fly so many times to get anywhere?
Yes, that is probably the biggest hurdle for living in Alaska. It's just so far away. Pretty much any trip I go to, I have to fly through Seattle, which is a 3.5-hour flight from Anchorage. So like when I went to Finland, you know, it was a 3-flight trip with an 11-hour time change. It was pretty hefty. But you know, I've been doing it for quite a few years now, and I'm still not used to it. It still kicks my butt.
Yeah, I remember, where was it? Was it Sweden? Or there was one, it was like a European competition, I think, that we were at. So it was either Sweden or I can't remember where, but you had like an almost 24-hour or longer than 24-hour time, like travel from the time you left your place to the time you got there. And for us, it was only like, I don't know, 2 flights. So it wasn't even that long, but it's crazy.
I think Sweden was 26 hours. This one here was close to that. I've had some where they were in the 30-hour range. It's we have a team, we have a plan, and it's pretty hard to stick to the plan when you want to sleep, but it's the sport we're in. It's kind of my choice to still be up here, and honestly I love it too much to leave, so it's something I just got to deal with.
Awesome. So then let's get into let's get out of the negatives and into the positives, and let's talk more about that. What about Alaska is that, like, I know for Mike and I, you are the definition of an Alaskan man, but what is it that you love about Alaska so much for training? Let's start with training, and then we're going to go what you actually love even more about Alaska.
I was going to say, I was like, I'll have to get you guys up here so you can answer that for yourself. But
yes.
But for training, the benefits to training is there is pretty much no one on the ice when I skate. We have a very small team up here. And so it's very easy to focus on yourself, to focus on training, to be able to go onto that grindstone and have pretty much zero distractions on the ice. The downsides is I'm training alone. Like, same thing. There's not very much motivation on the ice, and in the sport it's very nice to have that team feeling, to have that competitiveness with your fellow teammates. And so that's something that Nam and I actually do to help combat that, is we go on FaceTime calls quite a bit, and if we're having a hard day, if you're having trouble, we'll call each other up and it's like, hey, I can't get the quad toe today, and put them up on the wall, and we'll kind of get that team building, team competitiveness going. And so, or like earlier in the day, he shows me, he's like, hey, watch this quad sow. And it's like just an epic quad sow or something. And so when I go back onto the ice later, I have that that little bit of push that, like, oh, I can't let him outdo me. And so it gives you a little bit of motivation to combat the fact that I am out on the ice alone. And then I can focus on myself again and like get that little bit more energy to push a little bit harder. I'll have to show you guys some pictures later about it, but I have quite a bit of off-ice training, a lot of running, a lot of cardio to do. And honestly, I'm a 10-minute ride from the mountains. So depending on the day, depending on what's going on, I just go from the rink, drive up into the mountains, and I hit a trail. And I think it was the Friday before I went to team camp, I was going up a mountain and there was a rainbow on one side. There was like the sunset on the other side. And it was just like, I was just looking, I was like, man, how can you beat this? This is pretty amazing. And to be able to work with quotation marks in an environment like that, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's picture perfect while you're running through the woods is, it's pretty amazing. That's one of the things I love about running is that you get to run outside and enjoy the nature. There, Brantford has a pretty nice paved running trail running right across right down on the river and everything. It's probably nothing compared to the Alaskan mountains and everything, but it's I could imagine how awesome that would be, running through the mountains and everything. I'm jealous of everybody who has mountains in their backyard. That's for sure.
Well, you have to come up. I'll have to show them to you sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
You running through snow yet up there? Just about.
I definitely had the chance to run through snow, but I kind of looked at it. It was all slushy, and I might have shook my head and said, not today. maybe when it gets a little bit colder, a little bit more firm out there in the snow, I'll start doing the circuit out there in the snow. But in the current weather, it's a little hard on the motivation when it's sunny out, even still, but when it's rainy, you still got to get stuff done. And I'm trying to stay out of the gyms right now just because honestly it's do my best to social distance as best I can. I feel like it's a risk that I don't need to be taking right now, and I can get the same amount of jobs done outside of the gym as I could inside of the gym. It just takes a little bit more work to figure out the heavy things to pick up, or where to run and how to run for the cardio aspects. In the winter time though, I do build a nice big rink out in my backyard, and I can actually get my cardio is done out there. And it's complete with downhill ice course. And so in the sprinting times for the cardios, I'll skate down the slope to start the sprints. So I'm actually skating uphill, and it gets the heart rate going that much harder. So that's quite a bit of fun in the winter times.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've seen the videos of you in your backyard, pretty much Red Bull crashed ice course. It's pretty sick. Ramps up on the side that you do jump up to. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying to lay out the new course right now. I'm trying to figure out what I want to do. It's definitely fun. It's almost an addiction. Almost, actually, my wife would look at me if I said almost an addiction. I have a problem. It'll be like full blown spring, and I'll be daydreaming about how to make my ice rink better in the wintertime. And I finally hooked up hot water to my garden hose so I can actually like hot mop my rink and make it even better. So
just remember, there's a pretty big competition coming up in February. So take it a little bit easy. Okay.
Well, I'll take it easy on the crashed ice stuff, but you know, I'll get all the ramps ready. So when I come back from February, I can start hitting all the ramps then, but,
perfect.
That's actually the hardest part about making the ramps is I do try to stay off of them, or I'll
try.
I never hit the jumps or the big ramps full out until after Worlds.
Hopefully Mike Slipchuk or Skate Canada doesn't listen to this about Keegan building ramps before some big events and trying quotation marks to stay off them.
I try to be really good about it, but
it's super cool, man. It's awesome. As long as you're safe and you're then after the season is done, you can go crazy on it. Did you get is it the hockey skates with the figure skating blades, or is it the reverse? I can't remember the ones that you made.
I have the hockey skates with figure skating blades, and I have a pair of hockey skates. And then my wife has a pair of hockey skates and a pair of figures. I still need to get a good pair of blades mounted to that pair of hockey skates with the figure blades, because I want to go out on the ice and just see how far I could push this hybrid conception of the hockey boots. See how far I could push a pair of hockey boots with a pair of figure blades. I mean, I'm curious. It's like, no one's ever, I can't think of anyone who's ever done it before. And like, to take a pair of hockey skates and do a triple axel, and I'm like, come on, that would be fun.
That would be insane.
It'd be nuts. If anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Keegan, let's be honest.
Yep.
I did a double axel and just a stock pair of hockey skates.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. Yeah.
A little scary, but it was fun.
So, you know, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, and I don't think our listeners really know of like how, MacGyver, how would you describe it, Mike? Keegan, like, he just figures out so many different things when he needs to, like you used to use car batteries and other things as your weights for your workouts and stuff. Like, it's pretty impressive the way that you come up with, like how you'll figure out to be, like you said, like you're trying to stay safe and social distance and everything and figure out, you know, I don't have these exact same things, but I can make it work. Like, it's very impressive of doing that. So like, what do you, like, can you tell us a little bit about that? Like using what you used to use for your workouts instead of using a nice big barbell or anything at a gym?
Well, the funniest one that I ever had was I was holding a chainsaw for the weight. And it was just the thing that was laying down in the garage when I was working out in the garage, and I picked it up and I was like, this is about the right kind of weight that I need to do. And I was holding the chainsaw and I was doing one-legged pistol squats with the chainsaw.
Not on, right? You didn't turn it on? Safety on?
The safety was on, yeah.
Definitely. Okay. Keegan's trying to do woodworking while he's doing his pistol squat workout.
Oh yeah, you gotta get like, it's the upper body and the lower body at the same time there, you know. No, but my current setup right now is two tow truck batteries right now that weigh 36 pounds each. And so those are the bulk of my weight. I do have one barbell that has adjustable weights on it, but that's the main, the weight stuff I do. I've even talked with my local rink to, I stole a piece of the rubber from the rink. It's about 3/4 of an inch thick, that black rubber, and it's just a big square of it, so I can put it in my living room because the hardwood floor is on concrete, so doing the off ice jumps on that is not really the best thing. So I bring out the rubberized flooring so I can protect the knees a little bit. I am getting a little old. It's awful, but it's trying to stay safe. And so I'm been working with my strength coach to start working on some other things, but it's anywhere from 2x4s laying on the ground for distance stuff, or going outside and grabbing a nice big stick to hoist something on so I can have an even bar on my chest to like put the batteries on to use them as a weight. But I'm making things work, and I'm actually kind of having a little bit of fun with it. That might be the reason of procrastinating of buying actual weight, because I'm enjoying the MacGyver aspect of it.
This sounds like a pretty good TSN documentary.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be dope. You just go have all the camera angles of Keegan with the the big tree branch doing some squats with it. It'd be pretty awesome. So also, you can't really say anything about being too old yet, because you're not that much older than Mike, and he's gonna be upset about it.
You got a little bit on me, buddy.
Actually, who's the oldest? Am I older than you and Kirsten? I'm January of 92.
January what?
23rd.
Oh yeah, Mike's older. Mike's older.
I thought you had me by a month, but it's the opposite.
Yeah, but you know, you get to just do the triples and lift up a girl. I gotta try to keep up with these young guys that are doing quads out like above my head. I don't know.
Good luck.
I'll lift up a girl any day. I would enjoy that.
Yeah, Keeks, you would have needed to change that skating career path a while ago, buddy.
I need a small little girl too, you know.
You need a very small girl. some of our listeners are going to know a decent amount about you, but let's talk about switching from, you're obviously from the U.S., but you switched in 2015 to Canada. Was that right, 2015?
So 2014 was my last season. 2015 was my last U.S. national. No, 2014 was my last U.S. nationals, because I was trying for Sochi still when I was on Team USA. But I had two bad national championships back to back. It's always been a plan of mine to skate for Canada. And my grandma came up for my little brother's birth from Canada and, you know, got to Alaska, loved Alaska so much that she never left. So my grandma, being of Japanese heritage, loves figure skating. It's just like, it's a huge passion of hers. So she told me stories of figure skating growing up, and put that worm in my ear early on that Canada never had an Olympic men's gold medalist. Well, you tell that to a young kid who wants to be the best already, and well, I want to be the first, you know. It's like I wanted to embrace the Canadian side of me. I wanted to skate for Canada very, very early on. And it was actually our plan to go from skating in the US, just because when you're going through the ranks, before you know if you're good enough to go all the way or not, you know, you go to the competitions that are easier. You kind of go through the path of least resistance to let your kid experience the sport and give them the most fun. And so I was going through the regionals, the sectionals, nationals, and I was doing that route. And when I was 14 years old, I landed my triple axel at the novice level at the US National Championships. So the US Figure Skating was like, hey, we want to send you out to a international, get you some international exposure. And I was like, yeah, that would be awesome. Got out there and we skated and we talked to some of the officials out there because we didn't really know anything about skating. I was 15 years old at the time. You know, we were just kind of going happy-go-lucky at this time. And they're like, so I would love to skate for Canada. How can we start going about this? And the officials told me, it was like, well, you just skated for the US. You got to take 2 years off now if you want to switch countries. And for someone who is just entering the junior stage, 2 years is like your whole junior career. So it was better for my career, better for what I was doing to stay with the US for that amount of time. And they did a lot of good for me, or they're very, very good to me for a long time. And I had a couple fumbles along the way. My skating had a little bit of a dip. You know, I think I was in the 23-year range, 22 to like 24. I'm guessing right now, I think it's right around that age. But I had some boot issues trying to figure out who I was, what's important in life, where to go. You know, I wasn't, you know, it's a confusing time. You don't really know what you want to do. It's like you're getting into your mid-20s and you're like, well, I'm still skating. I didn't plan to skate this long, and trying to balance stuff. And I missed the Sochi games and I was like, where do I go from here? And I can't remember where the suggestion came from, but to kind of remind me that Canada was an option. And I was like, oh man, I would love to go skate for Canada. It's like, you know, I missed out on the international season last year. If I sit out one more year, there's my 2 years and I can skate the 2015 season for Canada. And so I used the entire 2014 season to get all my credentials done, to get all of my tests, because I had to redo my all my tests in Canada. And I went to a local competition in Canmore to do my senior test in my free skate. And I opened up with a quad toe, triple toe combination in the free skate. And I got like 90% of the free skate score in like the first jumping pass.
That's awesome.
But it was, you know, we were using it kind of as a warm-up competition, as a opening to start trying to skate for Canada. And honestly, as soon as I signed up with the Calgary club, I started in Sherwood Park Figure Skating Club, but the section immediately got in contact with me. They immediately was like, hey, send us videos, send us your programs. We'll help you get your levels. We'll help you do this. Keep in contact with us and we'll help you out. And that was huge. It's like, I wasn't even on Team USA. I was, you know, I'm a newbie coming into Canada. I was shocked, because even on Team USA, I hardly got that kind of help on Team USA. No one really stepped out and asked, just like, hey, we want to help, send us videos. I didn't really get that on Team USA. So to not even be on Team Canada yet, just to sign up with the club, and they were like, yeah, hey, we got some judges here that would love to look at your stuff. Send us some videos. We want to help you do the best that you can do. It was huge. And God, it was like, I never looked back. It was like the best thing that happened for me. And nationals happened. I got on the Canadian team, and it just kind of snowballed all the way into the Olympic Games. And I've been riding this high ever since, really. You know, I went to the Olympics. I got married. I have a child now. And, you know, we're on an Olympic year again. And gosh, it's just, it's like the best time of my life, and it all started with Canada.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. We're pretty glad you came over to Canada, buddy. You are a definition of a Canadian. If anybody ever meets Keegan, he would give you the shirt off your back in an instant. He's a world-class act. Like, you're a great, great friend to everybody on the team, and so, you know, you're definitely where you belong, buddy.
Yes, we're definitely lucky to have you, Keegs. You lift everybody up on the team. And your support goes a long way, and you make the team better, buddy.
Sweet. Thank you, guys.
Anytime. So, you know, let's quickly touch on that. You went to, you ended up getting the Olympic dream. You ended up going to the Olympics for Canada. What was the highlight of the games for you? Like, that's an amazing experience in itself, but what was kind of your biggest highlight of the games?
I don't know about highlight, but the one memory that really sticks out when I go about looking at the selfish side of like what it was for me, had to be coming out of the tunnel for the short program. You know, you're backstage, they keep you backstage for like all the competitions, you know. But the Olympics, it just felt more. It was just like everything you ever knew and just a little bit more. And I always had this, I don't know about dream, but this fantasy of skating, singing in the rain in the Olympics. I remember being a kid and I was just, I had just watched Kurt Browning skate his Singing in the Rain, and it inspired me. I don't even know how old I was. I think I was like 12 years old or something. And I wanted to skate to this song. I wanted to do it in the Olympics. And I was coming out of the tunnel in my Singing in the Rain costume, and the arena opened up in front of me. And it's like, it was the biggest stage I've ever stepped out on. I've never been to a world championships before. This was like the first, like I went to an Olympics before a world championship. So
I didn't even realize that. That's crazy.
I didn't realize that either. That's major insane.
That's awesome. So you went to the Olympics first, and then you went to Milan afterwards for your first Worlds. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, the Olympics really was just like the springboard. It was incredible. Yeah, and so I come out of like the tunnel, and it's like the rings. They had this massive ring banner up on the top left-hand or the looker's left-hand side of the rink. I mean, just this massive ring. I already knew it was there. I already walked around the rink, but it was just so different coming out of the tunnel, dressed up, ready to go. You hear the applause, that knot tied in your stomach, and had the thought of, I'm about to skate in the Olympics. You know, it's just like, it was the craziest over like stimulating thing in the world. You know, you've worked your whole life for this. I think I was 26 at the time. I had been skating for 23 years already. And then to hit the Olympics and to have that open up, it was, God, I almost can't describe it. It was huge. And then it's like, you had the secondary thought come was like, no, knock it off. You got to compete. Like,
focus, Keegan. We say that to you a lot. Come on, Keegs. Oh, that's super cool, man. That's I have chills just like hearing you talk about it. That's a moment that is worth a lifetime and not very many people get. So it's pretty awesome. That's super, super cool, man.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be experiencing that as well. So let's go, man.
Oh, yeah. It's time to push, right?
Yep. Any other highlights of the games outside of skating? Going to any other events or anything in the village? I think
the other highlights of the game was just the team aspect. Going there, the opening ceremonies was, of course, just incredible. Being there with the team, going to the hockey games, going to the different events. The four-man bob was incredible. The men's aerial event was incredible. It was like 3 weeks of dreamland. You showed up, you moved to the Olympics for a month, and you just lived there. And it was literally moving to a dream. And it's hard to explain, but it was the most incredible time of my life.
Yeah. It's definitely hard to explain. I feel the same. It's just overwhelming, the thoughts, even thinking back on it, that it's hard to put into words.
Yeah.
It's something I would definitely wish on like my best friends. Honestly, it's something that I wanted everybody to be able to feel something like that. There's nothing quite like it.
few more months, man. Few more
Cross
months.
Our
Let's do
fingers,
it.
Knock on wood.
On the Team Canada Instagram this year, I saw there was a traveling moose traveling around the village. I don't know exactly where that trend started, but that may have been started by you in Pyeongchang. You may have gotten in trouble for it, and now it's a trend and it's a praised thing at these last games in Tokyo.
We definitely got in trouble for it, but it was definitely done with the utmost, like, good-hearted thing. We didn't understand the weight of the moose, even though it was quite heavy, but it was, we just thought it was, would be fun to move the moose to a different spot and have people come out and be like, oh, where's the moose? Oh, there's the moose. And, you know, it was a very lighthearted prank. You know, I thought for a prank, you know, no one gets hurt. You know, we move something like an inanimate object and just play with people. And no, they took it very seriously. if there was a moving of the moose in the next games, I would probably not be a part of it because I got my wrist slapped once. I don't need it slapped again.
Keegan's going to run the other way as soon as the moose moves at all.
And we nope, don't. I don't see anything. I don't hear anything.
We don't know how the moose got moved. The entire park is covered in cameras, boys.
And it was honestly, it was the cowboy hat that gave me away because it was dark. Yeah. They couldn't recognize us other than the fact that we were wearing Team Canada jackets, and it was the hat that sold me out.
Yeah, I think iconic hat, Keegan.
Saw the video and he was just like, do you know these people? And he was like, they're mine. Just I know admit.
The iconic hat got you in trouble, Keegs. Come on. That's awesome. So you talked about it, that your life changed obviously when you started representing Canada. You got to go to the Olympics, and then and after the Olympics, you ended up getting married and having a kid. So let's talk about that. How has marriage life been? And now how is fatherhood with training? I could not imagine being a father and still trying to train for figure skating at the same time.
You're tired now, Trent?
Yes.
Just take away your sleep and continue doing what you're doing.
That doesn't sound fun to me.
Now, my wife is... jumped right into supermom shoes. Like it blows my mind on how incredible she has jumped into the supermom shoes. And at the same time, she's still looking out for me. She understands. She was an athlete herself when, you know, she was going through high school and a little bit through college, and it was all, and so she kind of understands that thought process of having a goal and wanting to work for it. And so she's definitely taking one for the team right now. I'm going to get it later after things calm down on the ice, but she's the one who takes care of him during the night, and she feeds him and deals with him. And she lets me sleep so that I can come to the rink, and God, I love her. She's amazing. And what she does is just so incredible. I think it was 2015. I proposed to her, actually, I think I proposed to her the weekend before Skate Canada in 2000. And, oh, did I say 2015? No, it was 2018 was Olympics. So, yeah, it was the 2018 season. There we go. Sorry, 2018.
I was going to say, you were showing me the photos when we were in Oberstdorf. No, you were telling me about it in Oberstdorf.
Yeah, Trent got to see one of the first pictures of the ring before I gave it to her.
Yeah, it was awesome. So also a pretty cool story. Can you tell the story about proposing to Lane? This is like, you know, you talk about Alaskan mountains and everything and picturesque perfect. So let's hear about that.
So I was running out of time for when I wanted to ask her to marry me. And I had this grand picture in my head that I wanted to have this mountaintop picnic with her at sunset and yada yada yada. And so just trying to make this plan work, but she was working, I was skating, and trying to find the time to do it was just rough. And so she got off work and like I had everything already packed and ready to go. I gave her a backpack and we're like, okay, we're heading up. And it was pretty windy already at the parking lot, and we're going up and she's like, Keegan, it's pretty windy. We can turn around. You know, it's like she still hadn't eaten either. So it was probably still not the best situation, but I'm like, no, we can make it. We can make it. It's still going to be okay. I brought a tarp we'll block the wind with it. And when we made it up to the summit, it was blowing about 60 miles an hour up there.
Miles.
About 100 kilometers an hour. It was blowing hard. Like my backpack was the heaviest thing I've ever tried to, or even contemplate going up a mountain with. And like, I got up there and the wind was like grabbing my backpack like a sail and trying to throw me off. And the spot I had picked out, it dropped off the peak just a little bit. And I brought out the tarp and the tarp is just waving in the wind and it's flapping around and nothing's working right. And I almost gave up, and then Lane gave a suggestion and she like held something up and then started working. It's like, oh, hey, this can still work. It can still happen. And we got the tarp set up. I pulled out the sleeping bag because the sleeping bag was our blanket. You know, it's a nice down sleeping bag. It's good into 15 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's a pretty good one. And, you know, the hand started warming up. I was like, oh, hey, this is comfortable. We can still do it. I pulled out the soup. I made her favorite soup, homemade soup, and brought out my whole camping equipment, my little pot, my other dealios. And I'm just get it all set up. And I just start looking at it. And I turned to Lane and was like, you by chance don't have a lighter on you or match. I had hot chocolate ready. I had soup. I made sure I had a tarp in case it rained or if it was windy. I brought everything, extra jackets, extra hats. You know, it's October. So, I mean, it's cold. Or actually, I think it might've been August, but it was snowing up there. We were above the snow line. It was really cold. And I forgot fire to, both of us are hungry because it was going to be dinner. And I took her from work, so she didn't even have like time to rest. And, but I guess the important part is, you know, when everything goes wrong and she still says yes, you know,
you found the one, Keegan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super awesome. And now she, you know, I hands down to Lane, because she's realistically, she's got two children at home. She's got you and Wyatt.
You're not supposed to bring that part up. I mean, even if it's obvious. You're not wrong.
So, you know, we all know it. Every time we see you, we get 70,000 photos of Wyatt shown. So, you know, what part of fatherhood has been your favorite part? You know, like, to put the skating stuff aside, what part has been the most enjoyable for you so far?
To pick one, you know, I've been an uncle for five kids now. My little brother's three and my best friend's two. And, you know, I've gotten very used to the fact of you pick up the kid, you play with them, but when they start crying, there's not really much you can do with it. And I'm like, oh, it's broken, and give it back. But now it's something amazing about the reverse happening. You know, grandma and grandpa having the kid or somebody else, and kid starts crying and they're having problems calming it down. And you go ahead and you take the kid back, and he like immediately stops when he gets into your arms. It's like something about you being his person that like he knows best, or okay, I'll say second best. But just you being that person that can grab him and he feels so comfortable with that, he just immediately calms down and is like, oh, okay, I'm safe. This is who I want to be with. And it's something else entirely. It's seeing his smile, hearing his first laugh, his first time rolling over. It's love. It's love in the fullest form. it's like you don't realize that your heart isn't full until you have a kid, and it's like you finally feel complete. It's almost indescribable. It's almost indescribable.
You got some motorcycle racing happening in the background there?
No, I think my dad is upstairs working on the apartment right now.
I was just like, oh, we'll let it go by. No, that's not going by.
No. No, it's a burnout in the yard.
Honestly, at first, when I first heard it, I thought it was a chainsaw.
That's what I
thought somebody was just cutting some wood down out behind you, but you're not using the chainsaw up there?
Actually, that has happened before. It wouldn't be the first time.
I saw you had Wyatt out on the ice today for the first time, or yesterday?
It was yesterday, yeah. It was the first time without the car seat. Lane will come into the rink and surprise me sometimes with the car seat, you know, just because it's pretty easy to keep him inside of the car seat, and I'll take him out in his little car seat, and then I come over and I bring the I get the motion to like, hey, give me the kid, and she's like, I don't think I want to give him to you. He's not into car seat today. But she gave him to me, and I got to take him out and skate around with him a little bit. And it's a little early to put skates on his feet, but it's coming.
For sure. It's going to be awesome. He's going to be the next Red Bull Crash Dice champion, probably, knowing you. Get him up in the backyard, get him going. It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to have to put some kind of, like, barrier up to make him not go down the downhill part of the course or something when he gets a little older. But
you're gonna be encouraging him to go down the downhill part when he's 3 years old, Keegan. Come on,
my wife is listening. You're not
you know, you just tell her you're just gonna build like a gutter ball, like, you know, when you have the gutters up at the bowling. That's all. You're just gonna put some ramps up on the side. No, it's fine. If he needs to, he can go off and hold on.
Yeah.
He's fine.
No, if he goes too fast, he'll just turn into the snow and just fall over.
Yeah, exactly. Build giant snow blocks around it. It's going to be completely fine. Oh, that's awesome. So, Keegan, you know, buddy, you're one of a kind, man. I can't believe. I'm so glad I've met you. You know, you've spent a few nights on my couch. You spent a few nights in my action. We've had some really good memories together. I'm so glad that you came.
Shared bed in Oberstdorf, you know,
we've shared, like... yeah, funny story actually before. So Keegan and I were roommates in Oberstdorf, back in the 2018-19 season. So it was my first senior B, and then Keegan and I had already known each other for a while. So it was completely fine. But, we get there and we're in the newer part of this hotel, and the most beds in Europe are like small single beds for the hotels and everything. And so get into the bed. Well, I get into the bedroom, open up the bedroom, and there's one bed with two single mattresses inside the same bed frame. So we're like, okay, whatever. Like, it's going to be fine. So Keegan and I were like, yeah, no problem. We're both like laying there or whatever. And then one night, I'm laying there and I sleep on my back for the most part. So I'm sleeping on my back and I don't know why, I just kind of like half woken up or something. And all of a sudden, all I feel is Keegan's arm. He rolls over, puts his arm around me for like a hot second, and then realizes I'm not laying and barrel rolls to the other side. And I thought he was going to fly off the bed, like roll so fast, rolls to the other side, doesn't have his pillow. Arm reaches back, grabs his pillow, brings it over.
That's too good.
Yeah, and your excuse for that was that you'd just been living with Lane for I don't know how long, and then and then she wasn't there anymore. It was me instead, so you just tried to cuddle me instead, Keegs.
Yeah. Yeah, that was exactly it. All the funs.
Yeah, buddy, it's can't wait to have some more memories with you. Super excited to see you again soon, hopefully. I don't know if I'll see you until Nationals, but you get to see Mikey next week.
Because you've got Skate America and
NHK.
Yeah.
You're
I've got Skate Canada and France.
Ah, France. Okay. Gotcha. Nice. But either way, can't wait to see you, buddy. You're super excited. So once again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast with us. We're not done yet, but just wanted to get the thank yous out of the way. And, you know, just really want to say thank you for being such a great friend to myself and all of our family, you know, skating, my skating friends are my family. I'm very lucky that I'm close with almost all of them. So really happy and glad you're part of my family, Keegs.
Sweet. Thanks. Honestly, right back at you guys. Like, thanks for accepting me as well as you guys have. And you guys are some of my best friends and always welcome here.
Oh, we want to come up to Alaska for sure. 100%. We want to come up there.
We'll be there. Don't worry. One day it's going to happen.
I'm going to make a plan now just to make sure it happens.
Yes.
So we have a Ice Lab book club. Do you have any book recommendations for our listeners, Keegs?
Yes, I do. I've just recently got into the Audible craze, or
yep,
I don't know.
Yep.
And I think it's funny because I still call them book on tapes.
Nice.
And Lane's like, Keegan, they're not called book on tapes anymore. It's like, well, then what do you call them? And it's like, they're just called audiobooks, Keegan. You know, Audible, they're just audiobooks. And it's like, well, yeah, but, you know, back when my parents and I, we went on our road trips, you know, we always had the cassette tapes that we put into the car for the audiobooks. I think we listened to The Hatchet or something on that trip or something on audiobook. But I absolutely love, I forgot his name, but the guy who wrote The Martian has two other books out right now too, and they're just fantastic, fantastic books. I'm a big space nerd. I love SpaceX and the space exploration. You know, we got the James Webb, I think that's what the telescope that's going to be going out into space very, very shortly. And I've been watching that very closely. And these books are so good. I don't know like how he's been able to put this kind of research into him, but everything he writes, it's so like believable. It's just incredible. And so I love The Martian, and his second book was Artemis. And then his last book, which I absolutely loved, was Hail Mary. And that one's quite new, but those three books are just absolutely incredible books for anybody who wants just a good story.
Good. Cool. Sounds good. All right. So we're going to hit you with some rapid fire questions, Keegs, to finish this off. So first one, what is your favorite meal to eat after a day of hiking?
Make sure you bring the lighter.
Wait. Summer hiking or winter hiking? Because it is different. So summer hiking, I'm going to say pizza or a burger. Mm. And the pizza would be something like with barbecue sauce instead of marinara sauce on the pizza, with some kind of fun combination on top. Winter hiking, some hot chocolate with maybe a little Bailey's in the hot chocolate. And like a good soup or something.
Nice.
Nice. Does the beer, does the pizza or burger come with a beer with it?
It depends on the time of season. I go pretty light on the alcohol during competitive season. So if it's early season, it'll come with a beer. But if it's any time after July, no. I put too much work on the ice for, I don't know. I'm too sensitive.
Do you have any superstitions?
I want to say yes, but I'm blanking out on them a little bit right now. Or any superstition that I've had, I couldn't keep a consistent like repetition with it to actually make it superstition or not. But Yeah, I think I would have to say no.
Yeah, it's not surprising, Keegs. You're a little bit of a squirrel. Attention span. So what is your favorite season?
Winter, hands down, winter.
Nice.
Nice long winter in Alaska. How long does the winter go there?
There are definitely some years that we come very, very close to 6 months covered in snow. And I love
Intense.
it.
Intense.
I love driving in the snow. I love making my ice. I love winter hiking, winter camping, cross-country skiing, backcountry skiing, snowshoeing,
Everything.
building
Everything snow.
igloos. Oh gosh,
It's endless.
there's so much you can do. Pretty much you can do anything in summer, in winter, as long as you dress for it and prepare for it right, or you're in the right season. I've gone mountain biking down hiking trails in the winter because we had a long enough cold period where the trails got hard packed enough to actually ride mountain bikes down the trails, you know. Oh, they got to be careful where the sun's shining because those spots are soft and it'll sink up to your axles and it'll throw you off your bike. But you know.
Minor details.
What is the best Nintendo Switch game?
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, baby. Zelda all the way.
You said Nintendo. I thought you were going to say Nintendo system. And
Right, honestly, if it's system, I'm still looking at the N64 like it's number one, man.
N64.
Classic.
I still have mine, and I still got all my games.
Yeah, same. Mine's downstairs. It's hooked up. I got Majora's Mask in it right now.
You too? No way. I actually have Majora's Mask hooked into mine too. I'm currently replaying it right now.
Nice.
Or I guess not really right now. I got a son, so it's been a while since I turned it on. But you know, it's a game that I'm currently
It's
replaying
there.
on the N64 when I can do it.
Awesome. So what is Wyatt going to be for Halloween next week?
If we can dress him up, he's going to be Baby Yoda or Grogu, for
Nice.
those of you who know that Baby Yoda's name is Grogu.
Yes.
That is sweet.
We wanted to do a start like a Mandalorian family costume, but it being next week and the fact that I never like dressing up, it probably won't
All fair.
happen. But dressing him up as Grogu would be definitely fun.
That'd be dope.
Okay, and the last question, who is the best Mario Kart character? Or no, not character. Who is the best Mario Kart player and Super Smash Bros. Player?
Who player as in
I think this
character
is
to play
between you
as
and
or
Trent. It's not me.
the first time I played it with Trent, I couldn't beat him, but then the second time we played, he couldn't beat me. So we kind of need a tiebreaker here. So I'm just going to go a little selfish and say me for Mario Kart.
Smash Bros, you can't touch me.
I can't touch Trent in Smash Bros.
One.
That's fair. That's fair. I'll give him that. Mario Kart's pretty close, but Smash Bros.
Yeah.
That's my game, man. That is my game. Give me Zelda. Sorry, give me Link. Not n you can't beat
Zelda's my main on Super Smash.
Mike's not good at video games.
No.
Not even Mario Kart?
Against some normal people, I can hang, but against Trent, I can't even play.
So Mike talked about it for so long because I had the Switch, and when he was living with me, he wanted to get a Switch, and he just kept talking about it. And then he wanted to get a Switch because he wanted to play Mario Tennis because Mario Tennis was like his favorite game when he was a kid. So for Christmas, I bought him Mario Tennis. He's like, "Ah, oh, now I gotta go buy a Switch." So he buys a Switch. So we start playing Mario Tennis. He's kicking my butt at first. He leaves for a week. I think it was like over Christmas or something. He went back like to Sarnia. He comes back and I just start dusting him in it, and then we'd stop playing.
I could barely get a point after that. One point in the whole game.
It's great. Mike, I asked Mike about it. I was like, do you want to like try playing Breath of the Wild or like it's just a super like it's a little complicated, but it's a fun game." He's like,
Well, it's
"Yeah,
very like
I need a game
the theme
where
of
you
it. It's
just
so laid back. It's such a great laid back game that you can just play and play and explore. And hey, what's over here? What's over here?
The open world's a little too much for me.
He needs a straightforward game where it's like you go from here to here to here to here, and that's it. Kind of old school Mario, right?
Exactly. 2D Mario, perfect.
Even Mario 64 was a pretty straightforward gameplay aspect. I still have it for the N64, but I loved it. I've 100%ed my N64 Mario. I even 100%ed Mario Kart. So I have everything you can possibly get in Mario Kart for the Switch right now. All the gold medals, all the stars, 50 CC through 200 CC. Yeah, I've put too much time into that game.
Nothing wrong with it, because you can't really do it too much anymore now with Wyatt. So
exactly. So if Trent starts practicing Mario Kart, I might not have a chance.
Oh, I'm coming for you, buddy. Don't you worry. Awesome. So, Keeks, thank you again for jumping on here with us. It's so good to see you, buddy. I can't wait to see you at some point this season. Go crush it next week and crush it in France.
Hey, you too, bud. Good. Best of luck in Skate America there.
Thanks for coming on, Keegs. Let's kick some butt over the next 3 days. It will be once this comes out. And,
what?
Oh, you guys can't hear that. That's on me.
What can you hear?
8 o'clock disc golf podcast just started playing in my headphones. Thanks for coming on, Keegs.
We'll have to go disc golfing when I come up again.
We're 100% will.
Yeah.
Let's kick some butt over the next 3 days in Vancouver. And thanks for coming on. Thanks for the hour out of your day. And hope Wyatt is doing good.
Oh, yeah. Well, best of luck with your guys' season. And thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. Anytime. Say hi to Lane. Say hi to Wyatt. And just super excited to see you. Can't wait for you to crush it. So, Ice Labbers, I hope you get to work in your labs, and
peace and love, and be kind to one another.
This episode of the Ice Lab Podcast was produced by Trent Michaud and Michael Marinaro.
Music produced by Hugo Schwinard.
If you haven't already, share with your friends and leave a review.
Follow us on Instagram @IceLabPodcast for more information and to stay up to date.